and age and race to choose the neighborhoods that we're working in. And you can see some of these, you can see high, moderate, low. And so you can see this big chunk of red. We're mainly working in some of these areas as well, the 29th Street Thrive Zone, some of you might know about, and some up in here are Flowing Wells. And you can see these neighborhoods here. This is where, these are all of our neighborhoods and these are lumped together. And we are starting this year, last year and this year on Sunnyside and National City Southwest in the 29th Street Thrive Zone, which is Elkhorn Heights. It's, Roberts, Naylor, Myers neighborhoods. And so we are doing a lot of different things. We want to plant more trees, mainly wherever we can. Schools, a lot of schools don't have a lot of trees, and parks as well, and as well as installing some green infrastructure where we can, just to collect that stormwater and use it to water the plants that we're planting. We're also focused in the community and doing workshops on trees and care for trees, as well as other workshops. We can also work in private spaces, so we're going to do a neighborhood tree planting. People can get free services in these neighborhoods for tree care from trained professionals, and we'll also be working in community gathering spaces as well. And so some of our activities, obviously tree planting, we're also doing workshops and events, installing projects, and just tree planting in general, stewardship and other resources, and this workforce development, and also tree care services, like I mentioned. And it's community-led. And some of the DSI, you can see the pictures of some of the things that are happening in Tucson. Again, we're harvesting water that falls on the ground to help to be an asset to provide water where it's needed. Some of that's coming off the street. Some of it's coming just directly from rainfall that falls on the ground to support things like pollinators that make, you know, keep our plants going. And then we also have a little bit of a focus on food plants, too, but food plants that do well here, and that's without a lot of water, because we don't want to have to be, you know, putting too much water into this. So some of the things that we do, obviously, for any project, we need to look at, make sure that they're feasible, and these run through all the city departments that we need to make sure we're not interfering with any utilities. We want to be also picking projects that have the most benefit for the money that we're putting in, and that they comply with and make sense for the site. Where are we at? We're here, and we started winter, fall, winter 2024. Here we are. We are designing projects. We reach out to parks, and we have some parks in our neighborhoods that we're hoping to put more trees in. Still waiting approval. That's where we are now. We hired a green workforce, and we're looking to, you know, help, people take care of their trees in their neighborhoods, and we'll be planting. We're not going to plant anything until the fall, because right now they're just be on life support while we're waiting for the hot summer months to go. So, that's it. I ran through it because I know I have limited time. So any questions? And we are proposing some projects, tree planting projects and parks. Right now, like I said, we're in Sunnyside and those Thrive neighborhoods this year. Questions?
Yeah. You mentioned services for trees and stuff like that.
Yeah.
For residents.
In the neighborhoods we're working in. Yeah.
Is that,
yeah. Oh, no.
This is
oh, sure.
Oh.
Yes,
sorry.
Good
question.
Okay. Not to you. First of all, I want to commend you for the work
really?
That you do.
Oh, thanks.
I think this is very positive. And the city of Tucson really needs that, so we really appreciate it. I'm very concerned. Are we thinking in terms of pullback in federal funding from the current administration?
Oh, right. Danny, do you want to speak to that?
What was the question? Sorry.
Pullback from the federal government.
So right now our funding is secure at the moment, at least for the first run of it under the administration. But there could potentially be additional annex in the future. But through the Forest Service, we're still continuing as we're proceeding as normal.
Is there a plan B for if and when the pullback does occur?
No, we don't really have, because a lot of this funding was, like I said, it's a $5 million grant through through the city. And we still potentially, I mean, we'll continue to plant trees right through the Urban Forestry Program. But we, if the funding does go away, I think a lot of it is going to rely on our partners like Tucson Clean and Beautiful and SETI and them to continue the work.
Again, I just want to repeat that you guys are doing a terrific job and taking from the community.
Thank you. Manon, did you have a question? I see your hand up.
Yeah, hi, Becky. I do. I have a couple of questions. First off, I want to say thank you. I really appreciate all the tree planting. We really need it right now. We're losing more than we're gaining, it seems like. And that's part of my question. You said you're focusing on desert plants, and I'm hoping that there's not going to be a lot of Palaverdes being planted because they're not seeming to hold up very well. Is that part of, what are you focusing on mainly with your planting?
Curious what your concern is with the Palo Verdes?
Yeah, the beetles take them out. I've planted Palo Verdes myself and seen them going down with beetles. This is a widespread problem that we're seeing in Tucson. They're not lasting as long as mesquites that have been planted at the same time. And so I'm just curious as to how many you're planning on planting with those.
Yeah, this is site specific what plants we're going to plant, but certainly we're going to focus on things like ironwoods. I think they're a really good plant for here. And, you know, certainly any of the native plants, some of the Palaverdes, I think you might be talking about maybe the blue Palaverdes specifically, but some of the other Palaverdes might do well, foothills Palaverde, but certainly we're not focusing on any one species, but there's some that we're thinking might be better in town. And I think maybe focusing on something like ironwoods might be a little more appropriate. They're better in some smaller spaces and tend to not be as problematic.
Yeah, exactly. Because when, you know, the Palaverdes can get quite large, and when they do go down, it can happen quite suddenly. Those root structures get lost very quickly. And my other question is you said you were going to provide support around people caring for trees. Generally, what I've seen in the city of Tucson is that we don't have a lot of support for tree trimming at appropriate times, and therefore the trees are not surviving windstorms as well as they could while we're waiting for these younger trees to come up. And I wondered how much of your funding is going towards support and trimming and pruning and making sure that they do survive windstorms and make it.
Well, a lot of what we're doing maintenance-wise are in existing green infrastructure plantings. And we obviously we're not going to be taking over doing taking care of trees in places like parks, you know, that are already taking care of their trees. But part of what we're doing is education and how to, with our arborists, certified arborists, how to care well for plants so that they are healthy and won't fall over and be a nuisance. So, and certainly providing, if we do see something like that, reporting that through the proper channels. We are also doing work actively helping with maintaining people's trees in their own private property too. So yes, so we're doing what we can where we can.
Yeah, I appreciate that. As someone who came in and planted trees very quickly from another place when I was in the 90s, I didn't have a lot of understanding of what it took. And I had to figure it out as I went. So I appreciate that you're doing that. Thank you.
And then I had another comment on that.
So, yeah, I will add a part of it is developing the workforce, as Teresa mentioned. So throughout the 5 years, we are having an established workforce that is going to support some of that, especially the new trees we are planting. They'll be caring for them for the 5 years of the program.
All right.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Taryn, did you have any questions?
So you're in the phase of identifying locations for projects, is that right?
Yes.
Are there any top contenders right now?
You're talking about in the parks?
Yes.
Or in the neighborhoods? All the parks we're looking at, in the neighborhoods we're in, all of them we're looking at where can we plant more trees. So pretty much parks, school, where people will let us plant, we will plant, where there's opportunities, where it's feasible. And so, yes, I mean, pretty all the parks in Sunnyside and Manor. So, yeah, there are some other entities that are doing projects in some of these places already, like Stormview City, through the city, already doing some big projects that are they will be installing in some parks, and we don't want to interfere with that. So we're taking places where we can, but just there will be hopefully some, you know, Yeah, new plantings. We don't have approval yet for some of these areas. So, but just know that pretty much every park we're looking into planting.
I know,
in those neighborhoods.
Yeah, National City was interested in, doing some kind of work with their irrigation system for their park. I think it was Greenwash Park 1 or Greenway Park 1 or Park 2. Not sure. Do you remember? That was the one Christine Carino.
We will be in National City's next coming.
Well, Southwest.
Now, but Northwest, I think maybe next year. So we will be working there soon. So you're saying there's some parks that.
I think so. Yeah. We have to share information.
That's sure. Yeah, that'd be great. Okay. We will be going in there soon. So that's perfect.
One more question.
Yeah.
Do you folks work with the neighborhood associations?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, because I happen to be the director of the Onward Park Neighborhood Association, and we've had a tree planting program for years.
Mm-hmm.
We're in between programs right now. Be able to attend one of our meetings and maybe schedule something for the neighborhood?
With Armory Park?
I don't know if that falls under our neighborhood. It might be outside.
Yeah, so there are a few stipulations in this, and they, doesn't really exist anymore, but the federal climate justice equity tool that we use, that under the grant, we have to be in neighborhoods that fall within that. So if it does, we can go outside of our chosen neighborhoods to some degree. It's a little trickier, although we are also training the workforce, so there could be some flexibility. But we should talk if that's something you're interested in. We can find out if we can do something there.
Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tucson Clean and Beautiful touch base with that neighborhood,
certainly,
because they're doing the trees.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, Tucson Clean and Beautiful can work anywhere. We're a little more limited because of our grants and work.
Manon, your hand's still up. Are you still having questions?
Nope.
Thank you. Thank you. Darren, did you have a question? Comment?
No, I didn't have a question.
Okay, thanks. Thank you so much for your presentation. Do you have to go to the Parks Department to plant the trees, especially if you're doing irrigation?
Yes, so they agreed to install or tap into the irrigation they have. If there's really no irrigation in certain sections, we might not be able to plant there. However, it might be the case if there is green infrastructure and can support rain, water could support trees, perhaps. But really, we're looking at tapping into existing infrastructure, and they will help to do that to some degree. And we do have some money for irrigation, but not a lot. But that can help in the schools. I know are really strapped for funds, but we do have some money for schools and for some irrigation. Yep.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Santa Rita Park homelessness discussion.
So this was basically a follow-up. There was an inquiry for us to report if we saw any indicators of consequence or where folks have migrated from the park itself. So I personally have driven around the park twice since closure. Fencing has been going up every day. But driving through the neighborhood, looking down alleyways, nothing yet, and connecting with Justin, he hasn't seen anywhere that he could majorly point. It's only been 3 days. So I'm not sure there's a lot of concrete data that we can provide. Tomorrow is the groundbreaking. I'm jumping ahead, and I think Splash Pad is available.
That would be nice.
But, yeah, it'd be wonderful if that was the case. But at the moment, I mean, it's been pretty quiet, and hopefully I haven't just put mouth on myself for that. But knowing that you were concerned about it, we have been paying attention. We've also asked staff at adjacent parks like Santa Rita to make sure to be Santa Rosa, to keep an eye out of the open space there to make sure so we can be responsive if we start to see an issue. But at the moment, I don't have anything major to report.
Yeah, I think it's still early to tell.
Yeah.
And, we're getting some reports of car breakings.
Mm-hmm.
How much we're going to get into it, time will tell. But those folks have to go somewhere. Okay. So we do expect, more activity. I don't know how successful the gentleman that was here last
Justin.
Month. Justin was, redirecting those folks towards shelters and whatnot. But according to what he says, I think it was like 2 out of 10, actually.
Right. Yeah, I mean, they can't force someone to accept shelter. Right. I have been introduced into a pretty extensive group chat. I saw there was a lot of activity talking about going out, giving the responses, offering services and support. And I know Justin was also identifying areas that he was going to be paying attention to where he felt like they could, maybe migrate over to. But at the moment, there's been no major reporting.
But Tucson Police has been extremely cooperative and
they
beefed up, patrols in the neighborhood, which we appreciate. But even with that, like I said, we've got, number of call breakings, which, is really, sort of unusual. So we're keeping our fingers crossed and ear to the ground and see what happens.
Thank you. Did you have a question?
I had a question. Becky, and a comment. I haven't driven past in the last couple of days, but I was wondering with the fencing how far out it is going. I have some concerns because this has happened to me more than once where someone coming from Casa Maria has crossed in front of my vehicle. And I stop and I wait for them and they get into a median. And the last time this happened, it was broad daylight and the person was carrying a very heavy blanket. And I was still stopped hoping that they would get across safely, but they didn't look like they had it all together and then tripped on their blanket and fell back. I had to get out of my car and help them get up and get across. And I asked if they wanted any help or anything else, but this person was not even available mentally to have me do anything but help them get across the street. So I'm concerned a little bit about where the fencing is. I wondered if you could, is there going to be places where people are going to try to hang on to the edges of the fence and then be more problematic coming into the roads? I just haven't had a visual on that yet.
So the sidewalk is still accessible around the park. The parking lot that's off of Third is part of the project. Has that been fenced?
The street's been closed off.
And the street has been closed off there. But along 22nd, the sidewalk itself is still usable.
Would it be advisable to block the 22nd Street side altogether?
I don't think that we legally can block a sidewalk that's right away, that's outside of our area of ownership and could violate accessibility and not traffic, but pedestrian mobility.
I think it's also a transit stop.
Oh, right.
Along the way, so you disrupt
that. Yeah, so being that there's a transit stop there as well, you'd be interfering with that. I think it actually would be safer to have the sidewalk accessible because then you'd be pushing people into the road.
True.
Good question. So the other day the wind was intense and it knocked over the fencing along the new fire station off Nogales Highway. Is that the same? Is it secured so that if the wind comes along, it won't knock it over?
Well, when I was driving by, they were using an impact driver to get it in the grounds.
Okay.
So, they're anchoring it down there, which is why they've had to do it over a couple of days because of how much linear feet they had to cover. But also knowing that the construction company will be on site, they would be able to be fairly responsive if a panel were to come down for whatever reason.
Okay, yeah, because it took one goes down, they all go down.
Right, like, I know.
It's like,
I was watching them do it, and it was interesting, their process.
Oh, good. Okay, cool. Thank you. All right. Moving right along.
Actually, I do have a question.
Oh, you have a question?
If we're just already doing some outreach to DTM, could we ask if there's any plans to do a hoplite or an island on 22nd between the park and, I'm not sure what street Casa Maria is on, but I think that could be, it would be nice to know if there's a project in place.
I can ask.
We actually had received a question about that. And there was at one point an idea to put a hawk crossing at 3rd across 22nd. And we chatted with Patrick Hartley with Transportation and Mobility. And he was saying since the crosswalk at 3rd is active and usable, that they probably wouldn't move forward with a hawk crossing at 4th. Are you getting my things wrong?
6th.
Yeah. I'm all turned around. Yeah.
You mean at the stoplight?
Yeah, at the stop, like where the existing kind of intersection is with the traffic lights. But that the hawk crossing was an idea that was part of the 22nd Street project kind of at large, that funding is in the air because of RTA choosing to move that into the next round. So they don't even have detailed design work or anything. It's just kind of concepts at this point. So
got it. So if it was, it would be with.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'd like to 4th and 6th.
Yeah, so 4th would also be a viable spot to cross.
Do we know how many people have been killed along that street? You know, Chief Gasmon mentioned that he did a ride-along one night, and I think that same night, on that same stretch of road, there were 2 people that were hit by a car.
That would be a Transportation and Mobility.
Yeah, we would have to ask what those numbers are. That's not something that we would know off the top.
Another question for DTM.
DTD.
Cool, thank you. So next we have our partnerships with recreation centers for programs and services.
Yeah, so that one's been on our agenda for 3 times, so let's take it off now. And so I was supposed to send a report to Diana to send to you, but I didn't. So what we're going to do next go around is that our next commission reports that we send out that you guys get ahead of time, I'm going to have the individual staff actually write that into their portion so that you guys can review it. And then if we have any follow-up questions, instead of coming from me, we'll have it come from them. So quick and easy agenda item. Check that sucker off. No more.
And Robin's not here to question.
Exactly. Any perfect timing. Remove off the agenda.
Okay. Good with that. Okay. The Memorandum for Funding Assistance discussion.
That was a Manon item.
Oh, okay. Did we have a question, Manon?
You're talking,
Ron.
Could you have a question about the funding assistance?
Yeah, actually, I do. I know I sat through all of the meetings around funding, and there wasn't a lot of time to ask questions around any kinds of things, and you know, we are an advisory commission, but we tend to stick, at least since I've been on here, stick to things that are provided to us. And I am trying to wonder how we can get ahead a little bit around advising the mayor and council and letting us know that we are here and we see the reason for concern around getting parks more money to stay clean and sanitary with the higher levels of use. And possibly more money for taking care of older trees so that they can hang out longer while the younger trees try to grow. You know, after being under some other commissions that put together subcommittees, you know, we don't really have, you know, it's not quite the same kind of commission, but I would like to kind of wonder with the rest of you how we could, you know, make these kinds of suggestions to the mayor and council. Any thoughts?
Have any thoughts?
What about some fundraising? I mean, we have some tools to do it, especially here in Reed Park. We have a bench. Let's give a reception. Let's do a gala for the, you know, for the trees. Is it something that's you know, it's within the possibilities? I mean, we're going to be running out of funds one way or the other. Okay. There's a lot of grants that are going to be pulled. Okay. There's a lot of grants that we didn't have to start with. So I think that we need to start looking for other monies. Okay. There's monies out there. It's just a matter of, you know, getting the people to come around and liking the ideas that, you know, that we propose so that they can give us the money. Okay. So, you know, just, you know, so, just, you know, it's still in the point of view here. But, like I said, why doesn't Parks and Recs give out a gala, you know, a fundraising event?
So for us to coordinate something like that would come with cost.
Okay.
But also to generally you have a 501c3 arm that is partnering with you and also helping to take on some of the responsibility of coordinating the actual event.
Okay.
We don't have, currently, we used to have a park foundation. They sunsetted last year, mostly due to an inability to attract new membership, and they were down to 3 or 4 people, and they felt like it was the time to close it out. Doesn't mean that the foundation couldn't start again. But there's a delineation between what the city can do and what the foundation or a group of people that would like to do the foundation. We can be partners with them, but we can't be involved in the establishment of the foundation, the bylaws, the rules. We can't sit on it. There's a lot of kind of boundaries that I have to make sure that we're sitting on the right side of so that we don't overstep. When the foundation was kind of showing signs of falling apart, I wanted us to be able to help. And then I was advised, like, the foundation is an entity of its own. So it really would take for someone to want to lead a fundraising initiative that we then partner with.
Okay,
so another nonprofit. So that's the way.
Or group that. Yeah, I mean,
you know, my point is that, you know, we were less than three and a half years into an administration, which is pulling all our grants and all our money. Okay. Before we know it, we're going to be in quandary. We're not going to have any money. Okay. We're going to have trees dying right and left. Okay. And whatnot. Okay. So do we just sit and see it happen, or are we going to try to do something? Can we come up with some kind of budget so that somebody gets in charge of doing a 501c, whatever it takes? And, you know, we need to be proactive. Okay. Where is that? 414 did not go through. Okay. There was no plan B. Okay. This is a possible plan B. Okay. We have tools. I think we need to use them. Okay. You know, if we don't do it, like I said, before we know it, it's going to be too late.
I don't disagree that there are tools out there, but there are certain restrictions that the city has in terms of being able to activate or manage those tools. I don't have funding, like mentioned a gala. I don't really have the funding to even fund the seed money for the gala, And then there would be restrictions and rules around the money that would go into paying for something like to happen. So you almost need to be able to get a group together that would be able to sponsor the cost affiliated with doing the event that then, I mean, I don't know. I have been part of nonprofit groups before that they run in a certain way and the government doesn't quite run that way. I'm not trying to be an obstacle, but just trying to say, like, I want to also make sure we don't get in trouble on our side.
Hold
on. I think Darren had something. Manav been trying to say something. So hold on. So Darren, you had your hand up first.
Yeah, thank you. So I know that a lot of times it's difficult. I deal with community partnership programs for the base, so doing a lot of funding stuff can be very difficult. And so when it comes to the parks, I think that we may have an opportunity with regards to local community involvement. I mean, you've got concerned citizens like, you know, the folks that were just talking about the Loma Verde Park. I think tapping into the local communities that are around the parks and, you know, providing them information on what the status of the parks are, what the future aspects are, you know, what the future looks like for the parks, identifying some of those HOAs that may be around the areas and speaking at some of those meetings and trying to invigorate the local population is maybe a better way of trying to get that local support for the parks. And then they can go to the city or they can go to nonprofits to get more support for the parks. And then that way it's the local community that's doing it versus us trying to go skirt rules or work in a gray zone with regards to earning money. Does that make sense?
Yes. Thank you.
It does, but you know, I think that we could go both ways. Okay, we could go to the community and at the same token use some of our tools, you know, just to raise money. Because you know, we're gonna need a lot of money those coming years. And like I said, you know, the way things are going, you know, grants are being not only refused, but they're being pulled. Okay. They were already granted. They were already given. So, again, like I said, we need to be as proactive as we can. You know, sitting on our chair and being comfortable is not going to cut it. Okay. Not if we want to have a park and recreation department in 4 years from now. You know, that's my point. And,
I'm going to jump in here because I understand what everybody's saying. I think what I am more looking for to do as a commission who's an advisory commission to the mayor and council is come up with some bullet points for the mayor and council, easy to read, easy to understand, that we can suggest around what the parks might need in additional funding in the future so it's kept in their mind. And I know they see a lot of stuff like this, and you got to keep it clear, you got to keep it concise. But I would like to see us to be able to write something together around this situation, because we are going to have more unhoused people in the parks. We're going to have more sanitary issues. We're going to have more climate change issue. Tucson is officially the fastest heating city in the United States, and we're losing a lot of trees. So, you know, this kind of thing is just, you know, something I think an advisory council could do. And I would like to hear if there's any reasons why we can't do it.
I'm not aware of any reason why you wouldn't be able to draft a letter that you sent on behalf of the commission to mayor and council. That I've seen those come from other boards.
Okay. I have too as well. And generally a subcommittee is formed. And with everything that's going on with quorum, there has to be some kind of, I don't want to use the babysitter word, but I'm going to say that, for that. So if we were going to form a subcommittee to create a letter of this kind, who would be that babysitter?
This is a first for us, so we could definitely confirm with the clerk's office. Go ahead. Cool.
So you would just need to create the subcommittee, and then you need to post that subcommittee meeting. It's just like posting an agenda for any other meeting for the commission. It's just a subcommittee meeting. So it's same process.
Okay. Yeah. And I've seen that, you know, we're doing that pretty regularly in the Climate and Sustainability Commission. But generally it's somebody from the city
who works for the city, who's doing the doodle poll about who everybody can meet up with and that kind of thing. And, you know, while we're here, I'm just trying to see if there's any other interest around creating a letter like this to at least start the process with the other commissioners.
So Darren has his hand up, and Antonio has something to say as well. So Darren first, and then Antonio, and then
Bill. Yeah, no, I'm absolutely 100% on board. You know, it's kind of one of those things where it seems like you're right. We sit and we receive a lot of information, and then we'll comment on the stuff that's been provided to us. But I don't see a little, you know, little push that we send information back to the city council. I guess I've kind of always assumed that the minutes from this meeting goes to the council, which I'm pretty sure it does. But, you know, that's just an email to doing something more formal where we actually identify, hey, here are the biggest problems that we're seeing in parks and recreation when it comes to the, you know, city parks. Here's the areas that we think that the, you know, city needs to focus on more or sooner rather than later. I think that's a great idea, and I'm willing to, you know, provide whatever time I can to help support that.
Thank you. Daniel?
I forgot what I was going to say. I did want to thank Fanon for your comment about focusing on policy. I think fundraising is a different piece to that maybe wouldn't be the responsibilities of this commission, but there could be commissioners that could be willing to step up and join that nonprofit board to actually actively do the fundraising. And if somebody wanted to do that with me, I'd be willing to support, not lead that effort, but I'd be happy to help. And in terms of policy, I think we should try to look at ways to do mixed use in parks. I've had times where I've been at a park and like thought it would be really great if there was a little place I can buy a drink or get a snack for my kids. And maybe there could be opportunities to have childcare facilities at parks. I mean, it seems to fit perfectly because the kids can just go out and play. So I feel like there's opportunities that we can look into that can generate revenue, that aren't necessarily, the city tried to get taxes through Proposition 414. Obviously it didn't work. So we could ask them to raise money, through that mechanism again, but I think we should also have additional creative solutions, and that should be part of the conversation.
One more point to make. You know, if you look at Tucson fairgrounds, okay, they get national acts, they get Santana, they get big names. Are they doing it for free? No. Okay. What do we do? We do Tucson with Tucson. We did the folk festival. Do we charge anybody? No. Okay. There is a dusk festival now going on in town. Is it paying? Yes. Are we getting anything for it? No. Okay. We have a multi-million dollar stage right next door over here. What are we doing with it? Okay. We're doing amateur night. Okay. Every now and then. How much would it take to hook up with, you know, a national touring company and tell them, look, we've got the full facilities, especially now, okay, the whole place is going to be fenced in, you know, after we're going to be finished with the renovation. We have an unbelievable, you know, performance area, okay. Let's rent it out. Let's make some money, okay. It's not going to interfere with the rest of the park. Parking's already here, okay. You know, the staff can get paid maybe something special, a bonus, you know, for those particular events that, they, you know, they're going to need to be around for, you know, overtime or whatever it is. I don't think we need to do a 501c to do that. I may be wrong. But is it something we could look into? And again, like I said, we're looking to generate revenue here. Okay. We don't want to do a revolution. Okay. We just want to bring some cash. This is what it comes down to. You know, and we have everything to do it. Let's do it. Yeah.
So this was a discussion.
Yes.
Not an action.
Correct.
So we can put it on the agenda for action item next time or see if we could put together a subcommittee.
Sure.
Excellent.
We might need a couple subcommittees. I mean, it looks like we're trying to focus on a couple different things. One, to inform policy and to get more money from the government, and then maybe a subcommittee on ways to do that. And I don't know, that's just something to look at, and we can do that in the agenda next time. Just make room for enough
enough time.
Okay.
Thank you.
I want to get Santana into Reed Park.
All right. Next on the agenda, we have reports and announcements. Do we have any parks and announcements from our commissioners? Manon, do you have anything?
I don't yet, but I'll probably remember in a minute.
Okay. Darren?
No, I don't.
Antonio?
Ward 1 has their Dia de las Niñas events on Saturday from 10 to 1. It's going to be a public work, and it's going to be a good time.
Yep.
So bring your kids.
They're 45.
Do you have any comments?
Not really. I just want to stress that, the whole downtown area is a little bit of a stress because we're going through two large parks, rehabs, Santa Rita Park, and then before we went to Armory Park. And the level of anxiety is, rising as we go along because we spoke about the homelessness before. We're getting into the unknown. We have a number of rehab facilities in that area. So there is already, an issue with the, certain safety issues to start with. So now we're going to be compounding them, and people are a little worried. Outside of that, it is what it is. So everything's fine.
Okay, thank you, Manan.
I remembered. I was taking care of a friend's animal on Rio Vista Park over last week. And I was noticing a few things, and I've heard a few things that were unsettling. One is that there's been several reports of whole rotisserie chickens and large chunks of ham being left on the south eastern edge of trails. And that might explain the other reports I'm hearing that the coyotes are far more emboldened than they have been in quite a while. Sometimes that happens during a drought with coyotes. I've lived here long enough and walked dogs long enough to know what can happen when they're starving. But what the reports I'm hearing and was something that I witnessed is that we might have a problem with somebody. This has happened before in that park. We might have a problem. And I don't know if there's a notice that we can put out around safety, around how the coyotes are coming right up on dogs, even dogs on leashes, and maybe put up a no feeding wildlife sign that's quite large right on that trail, maybe even some kind of cam. Because this is quite dangerous.
Do you know if anyone's been contacting Fish and Game on this? Because the reason that triggers for me is because on the east side, they had an issue with baiting of coyotes with poison. And so it makes me nervous to hear that, to think that maybe something similar is happening in the park. So I'm not sure if they've contacted.
I don't know. And I will ask. It's not just one person I heard it from. I heard it from several people who had seen it. And again, there have been times when people have fed them just to be, just to be a problem. But it also is possible they could be trying to poison them. I didn't think about that. And that also could, a dog could snatch that and die quickly too. So, I don't know how hard it is to get a wildlife cam into that area. They all say when they've seen it, it's all been right there. Right approximately where that tree was removed. So around that whole trail area towards the back of the park, the southern part of that park trail. I just wanted to report that.
Thank you. So my report is Saturday on the 26th. I'm having the bike ride with the kids from Challenger and Apollo Kids. We're going to start. We're going to do a bike ride through the neighborhood, and we're going to end up at Peace Garden for water and refreshments, and then they'll ride back to Challenger for pizza and EJ's. So from 9 to 12. TPD is going to be leading the ride, and before they do that, they'll do the bike rodeo to teach the kids how to ride on the street. And so TPD is leading the ride, so everybody will be safe. It'll be a fun ride. So that's happening Saturday. Yeah, you can ride your twike.
I've been reading bike 55 years.
Okay, staff reports. Who wants to start?
Aquatics, want to go?
All right. This month we opened 3 additional pools, Quincy Douglas, Fort Lowell, and Udall. We also opened all the splash pads except for Catalina, which was having some work done on their bathrooms, and Palo Verde, which was still involved in a construction project. So we held off on those two. The Catalina splash pad will open May 1st, from what I've been told, that the bathroom should be done by then. We've had lifeguard classes have gone well. We look forward. It looks like we're going to be in good shape for the summer 26. With the returnees that we have anticipated coming back that are in college or only work for us seasonally. We're also doing water safety instruction classes here in May, so that our lessons will be able to provide lessons across the city at the pools that are going to be hosting those. Right now, I've been going to Barra and Nepal and Joaquin Marietta. Those splash pads have progressed very, very well. I believe they're going to open in May.
Really? This May?
That's what I've been told.
Well, that's cool.
That's what I've been told. The Catalina pool is also progressing quite well. I was out there recently, and they have been working on the decking and tiling the pool. We should be able to open that even without boilers, since if we can get water in it soon enough and get the water warm enough, that we should be in good shape by June 1st. And we hired an aquatics coordinator who will also take care of our swimming lesson program, our AquaFit classes, also what they do.
Rentals.
We have had more rentals. We have some club teams that have been running pool time, and we actually have an adult master's swim meet at Archer Pool in May. I think it's May 10th that a group wanted to do. So we've been busy getting ready for the summer.
Thank you.
Question. I know there's a ribbon cuttings for Joaquin Woody at the park.
Mm-hmm.
It was the 17th, but I think it got moved. Mm-hmm. Do we have a date for Buddy Nepal Park?
Yeah.
No. Okay.
How did you?
Hard to follow aquatics, man. What should I say?
Sorry.
I thought the young lady was going to start first. Just like to point out, even after 18 months, you Tucsonans have no idea how to operate a thermostat. And it's cold here. Spring break camps were done in March. 351 participants, and now we are just rolling through this upcoming summer, getting ready for an amazing time with our summer camps and with kids everywhere doing everything in our parks. Everything and everywhere. Mm-hmm. Hopefully sending them to you guys.
Yeah.
And you guys can entertain them for a while with all that wonderful aquatic stuff. Yeah, right now we're just hiring and getting people ready for, you know, June. June, the craziness, our craziness starts.
hours off. It never ends.
Just to add on to recreation, we had some easier events earlier this month. We had our big extravaganza at Doris J. Thompson Park. Estimated maybe 3,000 people throughout the day. It was a little warm, but we got through it. We had tons of games, food trucks, egg hunts, pictures with the family with the Easter Bunny. So that was really fun. Our open houses continue. We had one earlier in the month at Marty Bergman. This Friday, we have an open house at Donald Ligon Center. So if you guys haven't came by and get your free Parks and Rec water bottle, come by Donald Ligon's on Friday. Next Friday, May 2nd, we'll have El Rio's open house. At the same time, we're selling memberships at 50% off. So that's like the big draw. And then also next month in May, we have a big event at Armory Step Forward. It's a community walk and health fair. That's on May 10th. And then the following Saturday is May 17th. That's our Second Chance Prom, which I think it's our second annual, third annual.
Second.
So that will be a fun event. We'll have a beer garden out there. It'll be an inside-outside event, so in the evening. So come and check that one out. And then, like Dean said, just summer planning, getting ready for June and July.
I will just list off some of the upcoming events that we've got. So we have tomorrow the groundbreaking for Santa Rita Park. That's at 9 a.m. And then this is next weekend, May 3rd at 10 a.m. at Freedom Park. Splash Pad is getting its kind of big party. Ward 4 is hosting their Splash Bash. And we will also be doing some outreach for our project at Todd M. Harris Park. So we'll have one of our project managers present there as well. May 9th is the groundbreaking for Jacobs Park. That's at 10 a.m. May 28th at 9 a.m. is the groundbreaking for the historic Fort Lowell Park project. And then May 31st is the ribbon cutting, the grand reopening of Joaquin Murrieta Park. And then on June 6th, we have the reopening of the Quincy Douglas Pool and Slide, and that will be at 1 p.m.
Quick question. Is there any way we could have this information there in the PowerPoint presentation form? Because it's really very good information. But when you send us, upcoming events, you do one by one. So we can't really plan ahead of time. If we could have something like this, like I said, the PowerPoint, something like this where... to all communities, I think it would help out a lot, but especially if there are changes, when we know what's going on, if we go back into it, that would be very helpful. What Jasmine said is really interesting. I want to go there, but I don't remember two things she said.
It is a very long list.
Exactly. So please see if you can do something there.
The only thing I wanted to add to the recreation report was all of our summer classes are viewable now online, and so registration for summer programs starts May 3rd, and swim lessons start May 19th. So tell your friends and tell your neighbors. If you don't get into summer program, then there's tiers and things like that. So for the cheapest gig in town. So I changed my mind. Don't tell anyone so I can get my kid. Never mind.
Question for you.
Yeah.
Actually, more maybe for Jasmine, but Cushing Street Skate Park, did we ever get a date for that?
We're still working through some last-minute items with ADOT.
Okay.
We don't have a date.
As soon as we just set a date, we will.
We are.
Okay.
We are anxious to get that going.
Huh. I missed last meeting, so I wasn't sure if it already happened.
No.
It has not happened.
No.
Go
ahead. That's fine. I go last.
Good with last. As far as parks goes, we spent a lot of time this week doing a lot of Easter cleanup, all the major regional parks, a lot of neighborhood parks. And then just to continue on what we've been doing for the last month is a lot of cleanups in preparation for the summer, doing some tree work, working with a lot of contractors, trying to get things prepped and ready for a busy time of the year.
I don't really have anything to add. We're just in the throes of summer hiring and making sure we're fully staffed for summer. That's all I got.
Mm-hmm. So I don't have a lot because they've talked through a lot of what is going on. I'm sure you've heard, but I don't want to just make an assumption, but Councilmember Favris has announced he will be stepping down May 1st, will be the end of his term. Yesterday at Mayor and Council, they did identify the process of how someone to sit in the seat until the November election occurs. So they are putting out an inquiry for folks to submit a letter of interest as to why they would be willing to do the work. And from what I remember, they specified it can't be anybody that's already registered to run for the seat. And they're trying to be fairly aggressive on the timeline, hoping to review the list of candidates at the next council meeting. So it's going to feel weird, even though I know, Becky, you've worked with that office for many, many years. But for me, he's always been so kind and generous and was a really nice, warm welcome for me to Tucson. So it will feel strange not to have him there. But
if I go, so I'm kidding. I was asked, but I said no.
That's funny. And then just for awareness purposes, so Johnny was talking about, you know, we're the lowest game in town for summer. We are doing a pretty hard look at all of our fees and where are there opportunities to make new revenue. Greg and I had a conversation recently. You're not going to make a ton of money off of Parks and Rec. Anything that we do is incremental impacts. But I think that there certainly is opportunity for us to really assess what are we charging and what does make sense. And then also the awareness for mayor and council on how much we really are subsidizing a lot of our programs. The current budget does recommend one cut for parks, which is Ready, Set, Rec. But I don't know the full extent of how they're envisioning that to happen. So those conversations are still to come. We've known for some time that Ready, Set, Rec could have a fee where if you were doing an event in the park, you could reserve it and we could bring it out and enhance. We certainly have been doing a lot of stuff for free like that as a partner. So we'll be exploring the model of how do we sustain Ready, Set, Rec, make it available, but still keep to some of the original intent of providing that mobile recreation in our parks. And then just assessing where we have other opportunities, to look at fees. So that will be a future agenda item, I would imagine sometime in the fall for this board. What I know, and I haven't heard of a change of date, is that they want to have discussions around fees in spring of 2026. So we've been working towards a target like that. And budget is going on. So they've officially presented a proposed budget. It is a balanced budget, which is good news for the city. But the forecast for the future years is concerning. The flat rate income tax continues to come in lower than what they anticipate. But for this fiscal year coming up, for us to pretty much be stable other than Ready, Set, Rec, I think is a good thing. And to help with some of your concerns, Maurice, we are 100% general fund. We don't have any grant funding for staff or programs or anything like that. And because we're built into the charter, there's an almost, for lack of a better word, automatic requirement to fund core services in Parks and Rec. So I take comfort in that for now. They are talking about frost, so some of our vacancies in the year ahead could take a longer time to fill because then there's built savings in. But we will have good conversations around what that impact means if we choose to delay And I've been through those processes before, and usually you can mitigate them out pretty easily. So those are my updates.
I just want to make a statement, and I want to mirror Mayor Romero in that statement. I think we should include, you know, in our commission today, the passing of Pope Francisco. He was the Pope of the people. Okay, I don't know what's going to come. We don't know what's going to come, but we know what he did. Okay. And he was nervous. He was a beautiful human. And I think we're all going to miss him.
Thank you.
Well, back on the agenda. Okay, so commission future agenda items and next meeting date. April 23rd. That's today.
Slight typo.
Yeah. Like, so May what?
28th, I'm sorry. May 28th.
Future agenda items besides the ones we've already suggested. Does anybody have any other future agenda items they'd like to see on the agenda for next month?
I do. I may miss it at the beginning, but Was it approved to get the Loma Verde Park bike path on the agenda for next one?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I just want to put on the table that, you know, we should work on funding, you know, how to increase our funding. Every revenue, as little as it becomes, you know, before you know it, it turns into real money. So, again, like I said, we've got a lot of tools we can put, can work with. Let's talk about it. Let's make an issue. Let's put it on the agenda. Okay. We do come up with some serious proposals that we can, you know, put into execution and, you know, make the ball.
So we put the subcommittee.
Right.
On the agenda. Excellent. So that we can talk about that.
Excellent.
Okay. Antonio.
A gentleman came in a couple of months ago asking about history being
collected. Data.
Yeah. I was wondering if there were any movement on that, and if there was a possibility to have some kind of storytelling around Joaquin Murray at the park. I'd be really interested in learning more, and or even just because the groundbreaking is going to be. The ribbon cutting is going to be a couple of days after that event, right, or the next meeting. So I feel like there's a lot of opportunity to capture information at that meeting or at that that ribbon cutting. So if there's a way we could discuss it, I think there's a lot of rich history there, especially with the movement back in with South El Negro and
all of that. Historical information.
Yeah, I'm interested. I know like the sort of the outlines of it, but there's a lot more I don't, and I'd be interested.
Mm-hmm. Can we put that on the agenda for a discussion on how to get that information at the parks about? I've seen some really cool QR codes that you could just click on, and then all the history pops up, and it's cheap and it's easy. Right.
On the same line, I was wondering, but I was reading the monthly report. And it still says Kennedy Park. It's no longer Kennedy Park. It's called Danny Lopez Park.
No. You're talking another park. You're talking Christopher Columbus Park.
Correct.
It's now Danny Lopez Park.
Even on the report?
Yeah. But Kennedy Park is a different park.
I agree with you 100%. So now I'm a little confused. I don't know whether it was Columbus Park or Kennedy Park that you know, I saw in the report.
We'll double check. I mean, just the other day we accidentally put in an email Mansfield instead of Dorsey Thompson. We're still getting, you know, a little tongue-tied a bit on some of the changes. But we'll make sure the future reports are accurate.
Is there going to be a date for that, like the renaming of the park, like a celebration?
So the Hana Atom have asked to do a private ceremony before the signage goes up.
Mm-hmm.
With Andres kind of going over to the county, who was part of the conversations, I'm now trying to figure out who's helping me to close the loop on that so we can set the date. And it's something that they wanted to do a blessing before the signage, and we're trying to make sure we're respectful of their desire for that. But the signs are ready. We're good to go. It's just, I don't want to go ahead and move forward without their being comfortable.
Could you ask if they could include the Tucson Native Youth Council? And I could make that connection.
Yeah.
Also have, I'm sure they do, but I have his family's contact information as well.
For sure. Yeah, it was, and I can give you some more background. It seemed like there was a couple conflicting intents going on there. So,
okay.
Yeah, I'll chat.
And go to the importance of schedules.
So when I emailed Andres at his TucsonAZ.gov, he put in another name to contact in place of him. Don't ask me to remember the name.
I think it's Stephanie.
Yes, that was it.
But I'm not sure if she's, I know she's taking over the legislative side of things. I don't know if she's taking the intergovernmental tribal relations over. Since it all just happened, we haven't had an official. So that was actually on my list with Christina, the ACM that I report to kind of get some clarity. Because there's a couple things that Andres and I were working on together. Pivoting and adapting.
So many people keep moving. So, yeah. So, we got nothing else? We have a motion to adjourn?
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Roll call.
Aye.
Aye. All those in favor say goodbye.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good night.
Good night, man.
Good night. Thank you.